been out sick. And so my wife and I do talk about all of you. And we were talking, where are the St. Clairs? Have we lost them? Have they gone somewhere? And I said, no, I don't think so. I said, I don't think he went to that. What's that place down the street that does prophets? but we're happy. Happy all of y'all are here. My goodness. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. As I've told you before, we only have three classes a week here. To me, this is the most important. This is the one where we live each day, in our lives, in our marriage, at work, everything. The other two are important, obviously, but to me, this is just the most important. This is where we live, spiritual love. But so let's begin with a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to the truth that is before us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we live in an exciting time in the history of the church. Some of us are inclined to believe that signs and indications are that the return of Christ is very close. We know it's closer than it was to Paul, but we think it's even closer. And yet, Heavenly Father, we can't get all that caught up and depressed about the world because you're in control. Your Son is in control. And there is our peace. There is our rest. We're going to keep on top of things, prophetically from your word, historically in the world today. But Heavenly Father, it's by faith that we're going to live. Faith in you, faith in your Son, faith in your word, faith in your Spirit. Pray, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see this morning and how we live our life. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, we left off in Jeremiah, which we'll go to in a moment, but just to, it's been a week. Y'all had a lot going on in your life, and so we just need to get ourselves oriented to what's important here and where we are in our studies and what we're doing. We're in the study of 1 Corinthians 13. I'll remind you of that. It's been a long time since we've been there. But in 1 Corinthians 13, love does not boast. So we're looking at spiritual love, namely that it doesn't boast. And we've been able to see that jealousy, boasting, and arrogance from our two studies on Sunday morning and Sunday on Wednesday night are fundamental to the first sin ever committed by angels, and then the first sin even by man, is jealousy and boasting and arrogance. In one statement, the morning star boasted and expressed his arrogance and his jealousy. I will be like God. There's a jealousy, there's a boasting, and there's an arrogance, all in one simple phrase. So, when the Word of God says, when the Holy Spirit pours in spiritual love, you will not exemplify boasting. It doesn't say you will not boast. It says love will not boast. So when spiritual love is being poured through us by the Holy Spirit, when we're trusting Him, boasting will be impossible. So we're looking at boasting. And we're looking at 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 1, and let's just read to where we left off, starting at verse 20. Where is the wise man? Now, all of this is so important to the angelic conflict. Please remember the description of morning star in Ezekiel 28, great in wisdom. He was wiser than any of the other angels. So wisdom has always been a major play. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of the age? So you got Jews and Greeks here. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And if you want to get involved in the wisdom of the world, it's there. And Judah's reading a book I've read some time ago. The name, do you remember the name of the book you're reading right now? Secularization, Secular of Humanity, Secular Humanism. And it is just a powerful book. I've forgotten about it, but she saw it and started reading it. And this is what our educational system is teaching our children in public education throughout America, is that the man has all the answers, doesn't need God. For verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom cannot come to God. And that's why the very wise are not Christians. Bloomberg, all these people, they are wise, they're too smart to believe in God. Okay? God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now, I want you to understand what's being said here. The gospel is not foolish. It's not what it's saying. The call for faith is foolishness to the world. And if you read different people's attitude toward Christians, they're weak. And Stalin said, Christianity, faith, is an opium of the weak people. It's an opium. And that's their attitude. And that's what verse 21 is saying. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message. And what's the foolishness of the message? The call for faith, not wisdom. That's the foolishness of the gospel. Verse 22, for indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. And they think they're so above everybody. And the Jews, the weakness with the signs is that you're easily drawn. It's going to be a great problem in the tribulation. The first 3.5 years. Oh, the Messiah's over here. The Messiah's over there. And here's the sign and all of this. They're looking at signs thinking he's coming soon. The top rabbis in Jerusalem are looking for the Messiah right now because one, they cannot form a decent government. This will be their third election in a year, and it still hasn't been decided. So that's one of the major reasons, the coming of the Messiah. The second sign is that Trump, the President of the United States, strongest man in the world, supports Jerusalem. They make that analogous to Cyrus, which is pretty awesome in my opinion, of the Old Testament. So that's a second sign that the Messiah is coming. So they're looking at signs that the Messiah is coming. And that's why in the first 3.5 years, when somebody says the Messiah is over here, they're going, oh yeah, that's the Messiah. That's why a lot of them will accept the Antichrist as the Messiah, because he will fit some of the signs. Be careful looking for signs. Okay? I know Christians that do that. Well, Lord, if you want me to do this, don't let it rain that day. Lord, if you want me to marry this person, let something happen that lets me know that. We're looking for signs. What are signs? I don't need faith. I put my faith in a sign. I don't need faith. I need wisdom, if you're a Greek. What you and I do, I need faith. I trust you. I trust you. I trust your word. I trust your spirit. There is our momentum of our life. Okay, so verse 22, for the Jews seek as for signs, The Greeks search for wisdom. And the interesting thing, I wish they had a lot of fun here, because they search for wisdom. And if we went to Job, there's a passage in Job that says, where can wisdom be found? See? And here are the Greeks searching for it. Where can it be found? Okay. But, I love that but. Always be careful with the buts in Scripture. But, we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. He can't be the Messiah. Our Messiah is going to come in riding a stallion and deliver us from the Roman Empire, make us great again. See? I called a pastor here in Dallas who was a Jew and has a Jewish background and all. And I talked with him. I said, what are they looking for when they say, I talked about how in Jerusalem the rabbis are looking for the Messiah. Are they looking for a birth, or do they figure he's already born? Oh, he's already born. He'll come in with an army and rescue them. See? So that's what they're looking for. So we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews. To the Gentiles, that's just foolishness. Why would you believe in somebody that's crucified? That's nonsense. You want to believe in a Hercules. You want to believe in some powerful God, not some weak God. You want to believe in Zeus. Say, okay, verse 24. But those who are the called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. People, you want wisdom, and you want your children to have wisdom? Teach them about Jesus Christ. That's giving them wisdom. It just irritates me how so many Americans want their children, they go to private schools, invest a big amount of money, and all this kind of stuff, and then take them to any church. If a church at all, that doesn't teach the Word of God. You don't really care. I'd much rather you teach them about Christ and then let them go to the public school and witness for Christ. Okay, now verse 25. Because the foolishness of God, now what's the foolishness of God? I want to be sure you understand this. The foolishness of God is that He calls for faith only. He doesn't call for performance. He doesn't call for wisdom. Doesn't call for power. He calls for faith. For salvation, spirituality, not confession, not repentance, faith. Okay? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now verse 26, which is where we left off. For consider your own calling, brethren, that there were not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. And then that took us to Jeremiah 9. So let's go to Jeremiah 9. This morning we resume there where we left off. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, which we've already studied. We're in the momentum of Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord. Okay. Yes, sir. You snap to, get to attention, all eyes forward, full concentration. Yes, sir. See? Thus says the Lord. Let not the wise boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty boast of his might. Let not the rich. By the way, we saw this three times in 1 Corinthians 1:23, 24, 26. But look at this 23. Three times again. Let not the wise. Let not the mighty. Let not the rich. See? So we have three categories listing where man puts his confidence of his own worth, of his boast, of who and what he is. That he is wise. That he is mighty, that he is rich. See, to me, I'm one of those people, I love this. Why? Well, first of all, I'm not wise. There's always someone smarter than me in every class. Hebrew, Greek, basket weaving. There's always somebody better. Okay? So, I'm glad that's not it. See? And that mighty. I've never been mighty. See? And rich. Financially, wealth. I've been rich in other ways with friends and wife and all, but not rich. Not wealth. So, this is beautiful to me. I have nothing to boast about. Sometime in my prayer, depending on the urgency or the level of intensity of my prayer, I even talk about, I come to you not because I deserve to, but because I'm in your Son. And in the power of your Spirit, I'm led and empowered to come to you. But I'm coming to you simply because of my position in your Son, not because I earn or deserve it for you to listen. It's all by faith. This is where we are. So in verse 23, it says, boast. Now the word to boast means to place your confidence, to gain self-esteem, self-merit, to exalt yourself above others. So let not the wise man or the mighty man or the rich man place his confidence in those things. Have self-esteem because of those things. Where's your self-esteem? What do you get your self-esteem? See? Now, let's look at verse 24. Here's the powerful verse. Here's that conjunction. But. Uh-oh. Got a contrast here. But. Let him who boasts, boast in this. So we as Christians have a proper grounds of boasting. Boast in this, that he understands and knows me. Last week we studied the difference between understanding and knowing, and there is a difference. And you can understand, know him. What you want to do is know him. And the only way we can know him is through his word. See? Now we left off with the next phrase. That I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness. The word to exercise, that's the Hebrew word for doing. Who does loving kindness. Who practices, who exercises, does loving kindness. See? God is. God exists. God acts. Now, we're taking a look right now in our next class. God acts in regard to sin. What does God do in regard to sin? Separates. You sin, I cast you out from away from me. Sin results in being separated from fellowship, intimacy with God. He cannot have intimacy with you. It's that simple. He cannot. See? So, this is God acts. Now, how does God act on the positive side when we're positive to Him? Let's see what it says. But let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me, that I act. I am the Lord who acts, who does loving kindness. Where did we have that word before? That's the first word describing love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is long-suffering. See? Love is kind. So, this is a characteristic of God in the love that He pours through us. It's a supernatural love. It's not flesh love. It's supernatural. It's a supernatural love. And so, His love is loving kindness. See? How do you know if a person has faith? There's nothing to let us know if a person is a believer in Christ or not. Nothing. But we can get a glimpse by the life. Now, that's not a solid ground because it can be faked. Many people learn and are taught a list, and that's how they live. and they think they're living that wonderful way. And to others, it seems that way. But at least in the power of the Holy Spirit, we expect certain actions, and we do not expect certain actions that will not be there. So, a person who does not have understanding of God does not know God, know the Lord. A person who does not have understanding does not see the necessity of knowing the Lord. People, I'll just share with you my own attitude. Where are all the people that come at the next class on Sunday morning? Where are they on this one and on Wednesday night? Do they not know how important it is? Because this is a very important statement. You do not have understanding. You do not see the necessity of knowing Him. And the only way we can know Him is by the study of His Word. And we'll never grow tired. There's so many pages here. I've been in the ministry 45 plus years now. I'm still learning things that excite me, that I didn't know. See? Just more and more and more and more wonderful, wonderful things that we can learn from His Word. Now, what do we know about the Lord? See? That He is. That He exists. Then we know how He behaves, how He acts. We've learned how God is going to act every time we sin. Separation. The great issue there is, how am I going to be restored? Am I going to be restored by works of confession, repentance, doing something, feeling sorry, promising God? Or am I going to be restored by the foolishness of faith? That's the great issue. You have to decide. But you've got to know this. Sin separates us from God. That's how God acts. See? No loss of salvation. No loss of love. He still loves us. But He cannot have fellowship with us. Cannot have intimacy with us. See? See? Loretta Lynn sang a beautiful song. Don't come home a-drinking with love on your mind. See? So, there's just certain things, you're not going to have fellowship with me. It's not the end, but you're not going to have fellowship with me. And that's where God is. God acts. Now, He acts on the positive side when we're in fellowship with Him in wonderful ways. And that's what we're learning here. Loving kindness. See? So we know He acts. Know that I am the Lord. Now look what the Lord desires you to know about Him. This is what the Lord, what do you desire people to know about you? Here's what the Lord desires for us to know about Him. That I am the Lord who exercises, does, acts loving kindness. See? Now, right with it, keep reading, justice and righteousness on earth. So, you get to pick which of those you want Him to relate to you with His justice and righteousness or His loving kindness. See? So, who exercises, simple Hebrew word for doing, God is, God exists, God acts. The great question is, how does He act? He's not up there. I think a lot of Americans think, okay, there's a God, but He doesn't care what we're doing. He doesn't care that we have same-sex marriage, homosexuality, immorality, adultery, fornication, on and on and on. He doesn't really care about that. Look, we're getting away with it. People, God acts. He may not act as quick as you like, but He acts. And you want to be careful in the grace period, which we're in America. Because if we don't straighten up, when God acts, it's going to be vicious. The flood. He just took out the whole world. Psst, that's it. I'm going to turn on a faucet. That's going to end it. See? So, that's God acts. Sodom and Gomorrah. Boom! They're no longer. God acts. God acts in our individual lives. What we want to do is give Him the relationship where he can act in loving kindness toward us. See, that's what we want. But let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me. Now what does he want us to know? That. This tells us what he wants us to know. I am the Lord. Know that first. He is the Lord. Who exercises or does loving kindness. This is that great Hebrew word, chesed. C-H-S-E-D. And there are books written on it. I have two or three books, just chesed. That's what the book is about. This Hebrew word. A couple of them are kind of weak, but a couple of them are pretty good. See? And justice and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. People, he delights in loving kindness. But I want to tell you something. He delights in justice. He delights in righteousness, acting in his righteousness. See? Loving kindness, grace, love, kindness, all in one rich word. We could spend the rest of this year, I just want you to know that, on that one Hebrew word, chesed. It is that powerful. It's unique. And we do it in justice. That's why the NASV translators put in the long word loving kindness. They try to grasp a whole lot in one word. Because it is a very, they could have, if they wanted to made it even stronger, they could have said covenant loving kindness. Because it's a covenant love based on the relationship, and loving kindness is how he acts. It's really a powerful Hebrew word. And so know this about God. He will never allow love to compromise his holiness. That's why justice and righteousness are close to it. He will never allow his love. See, we do. Let's face the facts. We with our own children, with our spouses, so we allow, set aside what's really right, what's just, righteousness and just, and okay, you let you get away with it. Say, not God. Not God, people. He's going to act according to his justice and his righteousness. He will never administer his justice without the opportunity to respond to his love. Now, we're in 1 Corinthians 13, I know that. That took us to 1 Corinthians 1, I know that. That took us to Jeremiah chapter 9, I know that. Now turn to Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10. Let's just read a couple of verses here. Jeremiah 10. And let's start reading at verse 17. Pick up your bundle from the ground, you dwell under siege. For thus says the Lord, behold, I am slinging out the inhabitants of the land at this time, and will cause them distress, that they may be found by the enemy. Verse 19, here's wisdom. Woe is me because of my injury. My wound is incurable. But I said, truly, this is a sickness, and I must bear it. Now verse 20, nobility. My tent is destroyed, and all my ropes are broken at security. My sons have gone from me and are no more. There is no one to stretch out my tent again, or to set up my curtains. There is the distress of it. So, actually what I want you to do, I'm sorry, it wasn't Jeremiah 10, Jeremiah 32. I didn't think that sounded right when I was reading it. I thought, well, that sounds interesting. Okay. Jeremiah 32:17. Tell them I'm busy. Jeremiah 32. Let's look at verse 17 in Jeremiah 32. Ah, Lord God. Ah, Lord God, behold, you, this is more correct, you may have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Who shows, loving kindness to the thousands, but repays iniquity of fathers into the bosom of their children after them. Please remember the reason you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Israel. Remember this. This dealt because of Solomon. And it happened, David had to die first, and then Solomon, and then the split kingdom. God would not allow it to happen during Solomon's time because of David. But after Solomon was gone, you have the split kingdom, northern and southern kingdom, because of the sins of Solomon. So this is what is being talked about here. So let's resume in verse 18. Of Jeremiah 32, who shows loving kindness to thousands and repays the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. O great and mighty God. Is that what he is to you? O great and mighty God. People, let me just encourage you in your prayer life. Talk to him. Let him know you know him. Say, let him know, I know your love, I know your justice, I know your righteousness, I know your wrath, I know these things, and I appeal to you, basis of who and what you are, based upon my relationship with your son. Just let him know. Talk to him. Say, let him know. A husband to a wife, you're beautiful, you're wonderful. Do this with God. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. You make my life so wonderful, God. Tell him in your prayer life. See? Okay. O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, is his name. Great, now verse 19, wisdom, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, good and bad, giving to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds. Okay, what is your way? Is your way by faith? Or is your way by works? It's very simple. Should God restore you to fellowship because of your works and your confessions and your repentance, or because of your faith? That's his way. That's the foolishness that he's looking for. Now verse 20, the nobility. Who has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. And even to this day, both in Israel and among mankind. And you have made a name for yourself as at this day. So this is the God that they should know. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33. I just got to show you some of the places I go. And some of them I don't decide not to say anything. Some of them I just got to at least point it out. Look at Psalm 33, verse 5. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. That means people, the earth is full of justice and of righteousness. See? This is God. Know him. What does God love? God loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of God because the earth is full of his righteousness and justice. Now let's go back to Jeremiah. Our passage in Jeremiah, and continue our study, Jeremiah 9. kid's gone, so y'all have to turn in your Bibles. So. All right, Jeremiah 9. And we're looking at verse 24 and 25. Verse 24, I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and I delight and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. He delights. That's he loves them. He exercises them and loves them. See? Now, let's just read verses 25 and 26. Behold, that means to pay attention, heads up. Heads up, listen. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised. What does that mean? That means they're Jews, but they've got an uncircumcised soul. All circumcised are not Jews, are not Israel. There are two different Israels in the New Testament pointed out by Paul. There's the ones that believe and the ones that don't believe. Now, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the sons of Ammon and Moab and all those inhabiting the desert who clip the hair on their temples, for all the nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised of heart. They've not cut away the evil in their heart. Okay, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay, I'll get there. There we are. And we're in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1. Throughout passages in the Word of God that relate to the angelic conflict, these concepts keep coming up over and over. Wisdom, power, riches. This is what we see with study of the fall of the morning star, called Lucifer, that's wrong. That's a Latin term. But morning star, to be Satan. And it was his wisdom, his power, his riches, his trade, his vast moving. It's the very thing that got man into sin, Adam and Eve in the garden. The Satan told the woman that if she ate of the tree, she would what? She'd be as wise as God. Wow, that's pretty impressive. To be as wise as God, I think I'll have a bite. See? Instead of listening to the Lord. See? Now, by the way, two ways for you to acquire wisdom from God. Learning the Word of God. And James, this is one that I find people don't really either believe or do. Ask. Ask for wisdom. I pray that's probably one of the dominant factors of my prayer life. Father, give the doctors that are working on Nick Daig wisdom. Give them wisdom. The doctors that are working on my granddaughter Lola and her problem, give them wisdom. Let them see what's going on, because they don't know. By the way, I talked to Chris yesterday, and Nick's just doing really good. No pain. No pain. So keep praying. Keep in prayer. They don't know why, but no pain. So just be in prayer. And like the likes of that. Now, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Not many mighty, not many noble. God is saying to Satan, I made you mighty. I made you wise. I made you all those things we studied in Ezekiel chapter 28. We don't have to read that right now, because we've read it so many times. But all those things that God gave him and created him, I made you so. I planted you as the guarding cherub. See? Now, verse 27. But, there's that but again. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. Now, let me tell you what's going on here. Want to know God? Let me tell you what God does. God always, it's custom to use a lower creature to teach a higher creature a very important lesson. God uses mankind to teach angels about the foolishness of faith. But even in the human race, I hope this doesn't offend any of you ladies, but God uses ladies to teach men lessons. See? And God teaches, uses animals to teach us lessons. So God, it's characteristic of God to use a lower creature, being, in your estimation, to teach you something important. I think it would be most embarrassing to be a parent and have to learn from my children. And have them say something, I go, yeah, you're right, you little snot nose. See? You're right. I was wrong. And I hope you're mature enough to do that. See? But God will often do this. This is characteristic of God to do that. Now, again, the issue, wisdom, in verse 27. Issue is wisdom. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Wisdom. See? Foolish versus wise. Weak versus strong. See? This does not refer to foolish men, as in the ideal of being foolish in your thinking. It's an adjective. It means foolish act. Weak act. And what is the weak act? Faith. What is the foolish act? Faith. See? It's gotta be proven to me. See? That's why Christ said, come to me as his child. You tell the child something and they accept it. They believe it. See? It's foolish. Christians are foolish to the world today. You people are foolish. You believe in a God you can't see. You believe in salvation you can't experience physically. You believe in all of this stuff. You're foolish. You're very foolish people. You're weak people. But please remember, foolish men means foolish act. Weak act. And that's faith. Our faith overcomes the world. 1 John. What is it that overcomes the world? Faith overcomes the world. Got to have faith in God, in the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God. See, that's what is being said here. It is the faith that shames the wisdom of the world. It is faith that shames the power of the world. It is faith that shames the wealth of the world. The great issue, man's knowledge versus faith. That's the great issue today. Knowledge of man. And I was talking to Mark the other night, and I was asking him, explain to me as best you can what G5 is. And I love the way you worded it. Exponential knowledge. The knowledge would just be explosive. And this is what the world wants. The world wants explosive knowledge. More knowledge. More knowledge. How much knowledge in my phone? See? Knowledge. That's what the world wants. It's what young people want. That's what they put their hopes in, their concept. Got to have knowledge. See? You have the knowledge of 5G, or you can have knowledge of the Word of God. It's up to you. Whichever it is to you will give you that power that you seek in life. See? And leave your principle on love, on your life. Until you realize that you're weak, you will never really love Jesus Christ. Until you realize you're weak, you will never really love Jesus Christ. It's that simple. When we're weak, we love Him. We need Him. We want Him. The strong do not need Him. The wise do not need Him. But when you're weak, and you realize you're weak, you'll love Him. You'll want Him. You'll desire to know more and more about Him. See, that's what we're studying right here. So until you realize that you're weak, you will never really love Jesus Christ. Only when you realize your weakness will you turn to His power. His power. See? And this really hurts those that want to boast in their own power and their own wisdom. I can do this for myself. I can function for myself. And that's the way America's thinking. Let me show you a passage that just jumped out at me. We'll see it in the next study, in the next hour, but we might as well look at it here. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18 a moment. I want to show you just an unbelievable phrase. But it's the way man thinks. Ezekiel 18. If this doesn't wake you up to the thinking of man today, I don't know what will. Ezekiel 18. Look at verse 25 of Ezekiel 18. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, Ezekiel 18, verse 25. Yet you say, this is God speaking, yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Doesn't that sound like America today? You're not right about sex. You're not right about homosexuality. You're not right about marriage. You're not right about morality. You're not right, God. You're not right. Look at the words. It's exactly what it says. I looked up in Hebrew. See? The way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is my way not right? Is that what you really think? Is it not your ways that are not right? That's pretty powerful stuff. Look at verse 29. Says it again. But the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not right. And do, can I dare say, America today says, the way of the Lord is not right. And then he responds, are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? See? Are my ways not right, O America? Or is your way not right? And you and I know the answer. The way that Americans are going today with their morality, their marriage, why shouldn't we do away with what the Mormons are doing? They're decriminalizing. It's not criminal to have more than one wife. See? Well, that's if you can have same sex marriage, you can have lots of marriages. And we're making fun of the institution of marriage, and we call that right, and we call God's way wrong. God, you're wrong, one man for one woman. You're wrong, man and woman. Not man and man or woman and woman. God, you're wrong. My way's right. And God's up there tapping his foot. Oh, my way is not right? Are you so sure about that? Isn't it your way that is not right? And he's going to show us that in due time. You can just bank on it. It's going to happen. We're going to get our comeuppance because God is righteous. And God acts. Remember that. God acts according to His love and according to His righteousness. See? Now, let's go back to our passage in 1 Corinthians. I just want you to see that in Ezekiel. I love that phrase. It just describes so much that's going on today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now we move to verse 28. The base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. This takes a little concentration, but it's powerful. See? The base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. What is that? Base things of the world? Faith. Despised? Faith. And that's what he's chosen. And he's chosen those who will have that faith. You put your faith in him, in his son, you're chosen. You're in the wise group before God. You're in the stupid group before man. You're in the wise group before God. Which would you rather be? See? Wise before man, stupid before God, or stupid before man and wise before God? See? Okay. This is what we have going on. Has shown the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. See, faith, remember what faith is. Hebrews tells us this. Faith is in what is not, you can't see. You can't prove. If you can prove it, it's no longer faith. Don't try to prove things that are of faith. You can't see it. See? Now, verse 29. In order that no man, so that in order that no man may boast before God. And I don't want to get into this, so we're going to stop right here and begin right here next Sunday morning, because this is too powerful. So we'll begin right here next Sunday morning. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. God, you are almighty. Your Son is Lord of the host. And we praise you. Father, we just thank you so much that we don't have to get so out of shape what's happening in the world. We don't have to get so distraught with the immorality of this country. We can have peace, knowing that you are in control and that you act. And now we know how you act. According to your loving kindness, your justice, and your righteousness. Father, we praise you for this study. Pray your Spirit can use these things to the honor and glory of our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen.